Where did Amy go? She's still moving. Thank you for that reminder today. And y'all know me well enough now, by now, most of you anyway, to know that sometimes I get between a rock and a hard place when I get up here. And I try to very discreetly decide, you know, okay, God, you're gonna share with me and speak with me. Maybe before I get to church when I'm at home studying or my office there or whether I get up in the pulpit. But I'm going to stick with what I prepared today, but not trying to add to anything that Amy has already said. I believe if the truth be told today, and I pray the truth be told in my own life, I'm a pretty transparent guy, especially for those that's around me enough to know that. But I've met very few people today that would tell me that there's not some type of something going on in their life as a stronghold or a bondage or something they've gotten free from or something that you've been free from that tries to work its way back into your life, that some type of spiritual warfare is always going on. Now, I'd like to flip this page over a couple of pages and to preach really what I studied for tonight, because I'm not finished with it. I've not even completed my thoughts on all of it. But I'll tell you a little bit of something on it. Is I'm going to be preaching whenever I get there. I might get there right now. I don't know, because I'm not done with it. I just tell you, I'm not done with it. But I've wrestled with it a little bit. But the scripture talks about this, and I may end up having to do this. I just struggle with it, and I struggle with it. Some of you think you don't even know what you're doing. Well, thank you for a compliment, because most of the time I don't, because I rely on the Lord to speak to me. And, you know, I'm torn a little bit right now, but there's a situation with Jesus, and I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Y'all are just going to have to bear with me this morning, because I really was not planning on doing this today, this morning. But I feel like I'm supposed to. Amy, you were the golden ticket wherever she went for this transition right here. Because I think we've all struggled. If truth be known, I have. The last several weeks and several months has been a personal struggle, and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people know that we struggle in life. I wish we didn't. I wish life was just, you know, popsicles and bicycles, you know. Kids do that. They ride their bicycles and they just enjoy eating ice cream on sunny days in the summertime. And I grew up that way. And we as children, we don't have the stress that adults carry. You know, and even Jesus, I was reading it a little bit this week, even Jesus encountered children, and he even said, you know, forbid them not to come unto me. And Jesus even said, if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, you've got to become just like a child. And I think there's a reason behind that, and it has to do with humility, which later we'll maybe talk about that. But again, I wanted to tell you up front, I was not finished with this message. I'm working on it. I've been working on it. I worked on another one. And but I feel like I may need to do this right now. And if I was going to title this message Miss Kathy Upstairs, you didn't get it for this purpose. So here's what the title of this message would be this morning. For this time together. The title of the message would be Encountered but not conquered. Encountered but not conquered. You can go to Matthew chapter 4 or Luke chapter 4. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. And I want to read part of this and share with you as much as I've got studied. It's not a strange passage of Scripture today. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But I want to read it in your hearing again. Encountered, but not conquered. When you begin to look at the life of Jesus, Jesus' life on earth has been depicted in a lot of different ways. Now, for those of you that's not already heard my story over the last few days, Sherry and I have been watching this show on TV called The Chosen. I've seen this for years. I've never paid no attention to it, but it was free on Prime. I thought, well, if it's free, it's for me. So, you know, I started looking at it. Normally it was $24.99, you know, but it was free and I started looking at it. And I'll be honest with you, a TV show has helped me. As I've been watching that, I've looked at the life of Jesus as depicted and narrated on a TV screen, and I've looked at the anguish, I've looked at the life that Christ went through, and even though I've read it over and over and over and over and over in the Scripture, maybe I'm a visual learner, and I know I am, because I can take a lawnmower motor apart, Bobby, and I can see all the parts of a lawnmower motor, and I can put it back together and fix it. But if you tell me manually how to do that by book, doubtful that it would get done, because I'm a visual learner. And so when we look at things visually, maybe we understand it better. Well, I put this message together, and part of it, not because of that show, but because of the reality that I believe that we're all in this morning called life. Now, if you're here today and you ain't got any problems and everything's O-A-K in your life, God bless you. You're a blessing. But for the rest of us, the enemy's doing anything and everything he can because he knows his time is short. Now, for those of you that's picked up your Bible reading for the first of the year in the book of Genesis, you know, just shortly thereafter, God put Adam and Eve in the garden and told them to dress the garden and to keep the garden. And God told them all the trees of the garden they could eat from except this one tree, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And then the serpent came and told them, oh, God don't want you to eat of that because in the day that you eat of it, you're going to become just like God. You're going to be who He is. And at that point, the Bible teaches us that Satan beguiled Eve, and then Eve gave the fruit to the man, and she deceived the man, and the rest is history. We look in the book of Job. Job is known to be probably one of the oldest books of the Bible. When you look at Job, what's one of the first things you see happen in the book of Job? Job was a righteous man. He was an upright man. He loved God. He served God. He shunned evil. But yet, the Bible says that the Satan himself came for the purpose of destroying a man of God, a righteous man of God. And you see what happened in the life of Job. You see how that the enemy done everything he could to do what he'd done to Job. Of course, I read the latter part of the book of Job this week just in vague passing. And the latter part of Job's life was blessed, and he blessed the life of Job seven times over. But yet in the same regard, it was that Job went through the storms of life. He went through the tests of life. But yet we see that where Jesus is in the book of Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And we open that very verse of Scripture up, and we see that where that once Jesus left where he was at, we begin to see that Jesus was led into the wilderness there. And we'll look at that. The Bible gives us a description of Jesus' life. Several things I thought about. I thought about, first of all, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of the living God. who became flesh and walked among men, at all points like you and I, was tempted and tested, but yet without sin. We know that according to the Bible. But we see that even Jesus himself in the garden, in the wilderness, was tempted of the devil. Before I get into that part, we open up in verse number 1 and it gives us a description of who Jesus was. It gives us a description that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Matthew depicts that a little better than even Luke does, because in the book of Matthew, we see that where Jesus was there at the River Jordan with a man by the name of John. And it was there that Jesus was baptized in the river by John. Jesus was not baptized in the river by John for the remission of sins, because Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. But commentary said that he was baptized there to affirm the message that John was preaching. Make way the path straight. Make way a way for the Lord, as he preached. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But yet John preached a message of repentance, of turning from sin unto God. And this is not in my notes, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. If there's ever been a day and an hour, even in the church today, that we need to hear the message of repentance, to turn from your sins and to turn your life back unto God, it's the day and the hour by which we are living in. But yet we see this, that the Spirit of the Lord God came down in the form of a dove and fell upon Jesus, when the Bible says that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That was God's voice that was heard there that day, that affirmed, it was an affirmation of heaven that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And as I've went throughout my week and as I've processed this in my own personal life, over and over in my own heart, I've been saying this to myself. I've been rehearsing it in my mind. I've been rehearsing it in my own life, that Jesus Christ is who he says that he is. He is who the Bible says he is. I declare in my life, I declare over my life, that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that Jesus is my Savior, that Jesus is my soon coming King, that Jesus is my Redeemer. It is not that Jesus did not know who Jesus was in the garden, but yet we see this in the Scripture. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he was driven there by the Spirit of the Lord. When we begin to look at this, it talks about this in a couple of different places, the reason that Jesus was driven there of the Spirit, because he had a personal encounter with Satan. He had a personal encounter with the devil. Now, I'm not here to edify or to in any way glorify the devil, but I will say this, that there's a devil loose today. And I've seen more evil in the last couple of years, even since COVID, than I've ever seen in all of my life. It's getting more wicked everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, it just seems like that the devil's loose to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But we cannot overlook the latter part of John 10:10, where Jesus said in the latter part of that, but even though the devil is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the latter part of that is that Jesus came to give you and I life and life more abundantly. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That Jesus did not come to pronounce a death sentence upon the church. He did not come to pronounce a death sentence upon you. I may be encountered by the devil, but my friend, today, we must arise today and we must stand our ground in the face of the enemy. And I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about Satan himself. And let the devil know that I am a blood-bought child of the living God. And I will not be defeated. Come on, somebody. But we begin to look at this, and those of you watching online, don't go away, pay attention. Because we can see that he was led into the wilderness to have a personal encounter with the devil. Let me say this, and I may be preaching to me today. Just because you have a personal encounter with the devil, it don't mean that you belong to the devil. Jesus, the Son of God, Job, Adam and Eve, all throughout the Scripture have had encounters, and there's going to be futuristic encounters with Satan himself that I don't have time to go into right now, but I will put a little bitty PS at the end of the line, a postscript at the end, to let the devil know you might be tempting us right now. You might be trying to destroy the church right now, but I've read the back of the book, and there's a place called the lake of fire for you, the false prophet and the beast, and one day after a while, oh buddy, you will get there. Some of you are listening, some of you are asleep. But I'm going to tell you something. We look at the Scripture, and we can see what Jesus encountered. We understand that Jesus... The role of the Spirit was significant in Jesus' life for several ways. First of all, we see this, that Jesus' face-off with the devil was ordained of God. How do I know that? Because he was led of the Spirit, and God must have known that. Number two is simply that the Spirit's activity was a part of Jesus's or God's plan in the life of Jesus Christ. We look at this, we understand this, we understand it from the Scripture that I've already read to you, that where even God himself pronounced that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The third thing is that the Spirit's involvement in the life of Jesus highlights Jesus's his genuine humanity. Simply saying that Jesus too relied upon the indwelling and the infilling of the Spirit in order to be able to do what God had called him to do. I wanted to pause right here when I was studying this. I was set to go. It's like taking a piece of material, if you will, and putting it in dye. That when you put a piece of material in dye, if you will, and you color that piece of material, it saturates every fiber of that material. And that is what God wants to do in your life. I believe that the speaking in other tongues is the evidence of the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But yet the point that I'm trying to get to today is that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. If Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost in 2025, moving forward, if you and I are going to be encountered by the enemy and not conquered by the enemy, we too need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5 and verse 18 teaches us this. He teaches us to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. I got to testify for a minute. If you're not saved today, probably most of what I'm talking about is foreign to you. But if you're saved today, and if you've been born again, you ought to have a desire in your heart today to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say, because I could be misunderstood very easily. Full of the Holy Ghost, not just to speak in tongues, but to have the power of God resonating within your physical body, that when the enemy comes in like the enemy that comes in against you like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord God would raise up a standard against him. We are always going to be susceptible to the attack of the enemy. But my friend, we do not have to yield to the enemy. We don't have to yield ourselves to him. Is this making any sense this morning? Because the Bible teaches us to be filled with the Spirit. That is our only hope today. Because within our own power, within our own strength, Jesus' humanity, no doubt in my mind, could have surfaced. Because he was as much human as he was God. According to my understanding of the scripture, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word of God. But yet we can see this. Not only do we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to defeat the enemy, Ephesians 5 and 18, here's the next thing. Galatians chapter 5, it gives us a list, and I'm not going to take the time to go through that whole list today, but I do want to turn there and read a few of these, and I think it's imperative that I do this because these are just some scriptures that I believe is very important. Galatians chapter 5, if you look in the upper part of this, again, in verse 16, it talks about this in 15, but we're only going to go into 16. It talks about the life of the fruit of the Spirit and the life of the fruit of the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. You may not agree with me. I think most of you will. But outside of being filled with the Spirit, I count myself a very weak person. I can't do it. I can't live in a world that is that's got an infestation of sin and an infestation of carnality and live for God in a world that is filled with sin without the indwelling of the power of the Spirit. God gave us the empowerment of the Spirit. We need to be full of the Spirit. He says that in the book of Luke 4 and 1 where Jesus was full of the Spirit. So I know that God's plan was for you and I to be full of the Spirit. Number two is we need to be able, Brother Steve, to walk in the Spirit. God, help us. Help me. Not only do I need to be full of the Spirit, but I need to be walking my life. And the devil's going to fight you. The devil's going to fight me. The devil's going to do everything that he can do to try to destroy you and to try to destroy me. But I've got to work, Brother Sherman, every single day to live that life filled with the Spirit. You know, I don't want to meddle. I don't want to get off target this morning. I don't want to dwell too long on anything that would not be necessary. I've not read the book of Job in a long time. It's been a long time since I've read the book of Job. But I look at the life of Job, and the Bible reminds us this was before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But Job, the Bible describes him as a godly man, a God-fearing man, one that eschewed evil. The Bible says that he was from the land of Uz. I heard David Griffith say one time, I don't know where Uz was, but that's where Job was. I don't know. But that's where he was at. Isn't it amazing how quick life can change? Job with his family, eating dinner, having a good time. And all of a sudden, the old devil shows up. I look at that brother Jesse. He shows up when you're least expecting. When you least expect him to show up. Maybe even when you're the weakest. And you think, well, where is that at in the Bible? That maybe when you're at your weakest. Well, I don't want to get too far along and not bring you along with me. But later in Luke 4, right there, the first thing that the devil tried to do to Jesus, and we'll look at it in a minute, I'll read it to you, is Jesus was hungry. Jesus was hungry in his physical person. After 40 days, I think you would be hungry. No, I don't want a biscuit, honey. I want the whole loaf. Somebody says, what is that talking about? You've not read your Bible, have you? Because, see, he offered him to turn the stone into bread. And Jesus, again, in his very weakest point, the enemy tempted him in his physical person. A lot of times we are tempted in our physical persons, and our physical person goes through the anguish of life. And then here all these things is that the serpent tries to do. If God, and this is me, this is my experience, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now. If God was really real, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now. Oh, let's see what your God's going to do for you now. See, that's the thing that the enemy tries to do to us. So it's very important that we be full of the Spirit. Let me move quickly really into this. So the Bible says that not only do we need to be full of the Spirit, Galatians says to this church of Galatia, this I say then, what does it say? Walk in the Spirit. Walk under the leadership. Walk under the direction of the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. If I had time, I'd go back. I don't have time right now. If I had time, I'd go back into the book of Romans and I would begin to talk about things there that maybe I'll get to later. But I will just say this for the record, that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And there is this ongoing seemingly impossibility of being able to get away from this instinctive, Brother Scott, you mentioned that Adam part of us today, the Adamic nature, to where there's this ongoing battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And I'm not going to get into it right now, and maybe I'll get into it later, but just for sake of mentioning it, Paul wrestled with this. Paul was that man that said, the things that I would do, I do them not. The things I would not do, I do. Wrestling. Ephesians talks about the wrestle part that I don't have time to get into. I don't have time to get into a lot of stuff, don't I? My mind just goes to the scriptures and stuff I know biblically, but I've not studied it for this message or whatever. But we all know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against those principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness. Paul said we're constantly in this battle. Now, I'm not going to go in to put on the armor of God right now, but we need to do that. But Paul was saying here, we need to walk in the Spirit. That would make me think on this first Sunday of the new year, I would challenge us to make up our minds today that regardless of what may come our way, Lord, help me not only to be full of your Spirit, but help me to walk in your Spirit. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And to walk in a manner and walk in a way that is pleasing unto God. We see that in the Scripture. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what is this lust of the flesh? Now, I could go through and I could name a lot of things. I'm going to name a few things. Even it's mentioned right here, and you can take your Bible and read it when you get a chance. But the thing that I wanted to share, and maybe I'll get back into this in a minute because I'm not done with it in this particular location. Let me put my little marker right there. Is I wanted to turn over to 1 John for just a minute. If you go to the book of Revelation and turn left, you're going to go back a few pages and it'll be there. 1 John is scripture that we all know. 1 John chapter number 2 teaches us in verse 15. When you open that verse up, again, John was writing and he's given us instructions to where we're to set our attention, maybe, or to set our affection, because the Bible says that we're to set our affection on things above. Let your heart be set on those things that are above. And any time, at any point, we have to, the Bible says, to gird up the loins of your mind, and we've got to bring every thought into captivity, to put our thoughts in line with the Holy Word and put our thoughts in line with God. You say, preacher, you sound like you're somebody that's been there before. Honey, I'm there every day. To keep my mind, the Bible says that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Even though I've got a devil, even though I have an encounter with an enemy, I'm not conquered. Are you with me today? I'm not conquered by the devil. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm walking in the Spirit. And then the Bible says this, and again, John begins to break this down. And he teaches us that we're to set our, let me use this word, our passions on things above and not on things beneath. We're not to be so fixed on things here that we lose sight of the glory of God and those things that God has prepared for them that love Him. So he teaches us to love not the world. The world is the cosmos. It's that word in the Greek, the cosmos. It's those things that are earthy. It's those things that are temporal. It's those things that are not enduring. Come on, church. It's those things. And I don't know about you, but this is the meat I grew up on. And we've gotten so slack, even in the church. Come on now, work with the preacher. That we have to have conversations about whether speaking in other tongues is spiritual or not. Come on. We have to have conversations about whether social drinking is acceptable in the church or not. I'll tell you the answer, no. And we even have to have these stupid conversations, excuse me, children, for saying that word. Whether we ought to legalize marijuana in our society today. It's a gateway drug that leads to other addiction and it leads to other things. I don't care who's in the White House. And I'll go on record, I'm glad she didn't go to the White House. Sorry, I was anointed there. Calm down, preacher. Love not the world. The Bible teaches me you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love the one, despise, reject the other, or you're going to cling to him. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be flat-footed honest today. I'm tired of a debate whether I love God or not. It shouldn't even be a debate in the church whether we're going to serve God or not. You can give yourself a checkup from the neck up real quick, and you can check your heart real quick this morning as to whether or not you love God because of who you're serving, who your master is. I'm glad I didn't have time to get all this studied, right? I was just sitting there studying. Let me tell you something, friends. It's no time to play church. Somebody said, well, you're just a religious fanatic. I'm not a religious anything. I'm in a relationship with the redemptive Lamb of God who gave His life on Calvary for my sins. And those that are His no longer sin. Brother Larry, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. When I got saved and born again, I quit the sinning. I don't sin no more on purpose and intentionally. Well, God understands my weaknesses. No, God wants you to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. God came to set you free from the bondages of sin unto salvation. Can I preach this morning for a while? Y'all got somewhere to go, God bless you. Have a good day. I'll see you next time. But I'm not going to short God this morning. He says to love not the world. Don't set your passion on the things of this world. If you do, you're going to lose at the end of the battle. But set your thing, the Bible says, on the things above. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Here's the thing. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How hard is that to understand? Either you love the one, you love him, or you don't love him. I pray, I hope I get to preach a revival here one of these days as a good evangelist. But here's the thing. Either you love him or you don't. And whether you're conquered or not at the end is going to be measured by whether or not you love him. Raymond and I talked about these conversations a lot when Raymond was here and he was more able to talk and communicate. But he says this, Raymond and I had this conversation, it's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, unto me. But it's he that doeth the will of the Father.
That's right. Come on.
Folks, don't miss heaven. Right. Nora, you're going to have to play for me today. Jody had to step out. I meant to get to you and I didn't have a chance to. So if you can come and... I'm nowhere near this end of this, so don't miss tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't know I was going to do this morning. If any man love the world, the love of the Father. Look at this next verse, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in inside? Are you after the things of God or are you after the things of the Spirit? And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Next verse. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we need to be full of the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. The third thing is, there in the book of Galatians chapter number 5, this is what he says. Again, I'm going to go back to verse 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, I like that word, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse number 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, and you cannot do the things of the world. Verse 18 is where I was headed. Then he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not constrained just to the Levitical order or the Mosaic order. You're constrained to the Spirit of the Lord, led of the Spirit, by the leading of the Spirit. This is where I wanted to end up, I guess, for the morning. The filling of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the walking in the Spirit. And if we're going to be able to walk by the Spirit, I believe today that being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with His Spirit, is the key to the aspects of living a godly life. Jesus, even God's Son, was tempted in the wilderness. But my friend, God, again, I'm going to get maybe back into that tonight. Depends on which way I feel like God's leading me. But let me just say this. Over and 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 over again, as you begin to read this, Jesus constantly went back, and what did he say? It is written. And there's other biblical proofs there that we can talk about with that. But Jesus always took the devil back to what thus saith Alan Green. What thus saith Steve Gallimore. What thus saith Sue Crane. No. What thus saith God. Take him back to the Word of God. And we can defeat the devil. Hopefully tonight we'll see. I want to go back and share some more things in this. But I want you to stand with me right now. Nudge your neighbor and make sure they're awake. If we're still sitting there. I want you to change your mindset for just a moment. When David fought Goliath. That whole long story of David's victory. The Philistines had defeated, was coming up against the children of Israel. And David was able to look at Goliath with victory in his eyes, knowing this, that God had been with him before. Remember the bear? Remember the lion? And if God allowed David and that anointing to come upon him and to grab that lion by the beard and defeat the lion and take the bear by the claw and defeat the bear, David knew that this one that was going to come up against him was no challenge to the God that he served. Even though you, if you don't make it back tonight, I want to just share something with you. Even though you and I have the encounters with the enemy, David had to have a champion mentality before he ever entered into the fight. He had to have a victory mentality before he even got there. This is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. I have to remind myself of it often. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's a spiritual exercise real quick. I want you to look at the person next to you, me and Sherry. We've got to look at each other. I want you to look at them, and I want you to say it, not in your own strength, not in your own power, not in your own ability, but through God, you're more than a conqueror. But don't you look at that person and say, you're looking at not a victim, but a conqueror. You're not looking at somebody today that's a victim, but I have the victory through Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Is that going to stop the trials from coming? No. It's just going to keep me knowing this, that if God be for me, then who can be against me? Father, I love you today. And I thank you, Father God, for your word will forever be settled in heaven. Lord, I don't come here in my own power. I don't come here in my own strength. I don't even come here in my own abilities. Because you said, greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. I don't do anything of my own strength. I don't do anything of my own power. But God, we rely upon you. For in you we live, we move, and we have our being. And without you, O God, we cannot do anything at all. So, Father, today we trust in you. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. But, God, we trust in the Spirit of the living God. I pray, God, for a victory mentality to overcome this church. Not one of haughtiness, not one of pride, but yet one of humility to know that, God, that in you, Lord, we are more than conquerors. And, Father, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Hopefully we'll get back into some of this a little bit later on. Amen. God bless you today.